At least that's what I tell myself.
Well, okay, I should know why. Not the least of which because we just talked about the importance of why last month. Also known as the clarity of why. If one knows their why, then they will have the clarity in life to know the how, and ultimately the what that comes next. As Marvin Jackson shared in his video that I showed in the first Sunday of October, when you know your why, your what has more impact because you are walking in or towards your purpose. What Marvin did not speak about, however, was the how. I mean, we all kind of get the why, right? Why do we do things? Why are we here? But the how. And that why and what are not complete because they need the how. What Simon Sinek refers to as the discipline of how. Well, that sounds like fun. The how is an organization or an individual's strengths, values, or guiding principles. So what are our hows? Our guiding principles, right? Our seven UU principles. So as I start to do this sermon for you, I want you to stop me if I start talking about who's on first, what's on second, I don't know is on third. Okay, maybe you shouldn't stop me per se, but do let me know I need to slow down a bit. In the English language, we use the words why, how, and what all of the time. So in talking about why is important, the conversation can get a bit circular in reasoning. I'm sure that's the reason my parents' response to my continual questions of why was because. Short and easy ends the conversation quickly. But this morning, in speaking about how, I'm going to try to illustrate the ineffable. It is the why and how of life that inspires us. And that's what Simon Sinek would say. If you want to feel inspired, look at the why that you do things. We are a goal-oriented species. Anybody else agree with that? Give me a goal, I'm there. We tend to race right towards the what all the time. It's like, let's get it done, because it's tangible, something we can get to easily. Very seldom do we actually wonder why we do what we do, and on some days, or with some tasks, we may spend a nanosecond on how we will do what we will do. Now, see where it's getting complicated? Do what we will do things. Unless, of course, we're worrying. How many times we spend a million hours on worrying about how and what? If we just took a second in why, we probably wouldn't have to worry. Right? Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third. So here is the neurological rub. We literally do not have the language capacity to articulate what we are feeling because we're working from the limbic portion of our brain, which is the exact location where why and how, those portions of the golden circle, reside, and thus we are compelled to say things like, I feel it in my gut, or because. When we think about concepts such as love, trust, and loyalty, you kind of can feel what they are, but it's sort of hard to talk about what they are. The part of our brain, the limbic part, is all about feelings, that gut stuff. That is largely responsible for human behavior and decision-making. So think about it. If I'm going to look at someone and I'm going to make a decision from my gut, I'm having a really hard time articulating what that is. That's just the reality of it. It's kind of a conundrum of sorts. Imagine the consternation when we try to convey those feelings from our gut. We know how we feel, but we struggle to express ourselves, all because that limbic portion of our brain has no language. It feels what it feels. And I wonder, has this happened to you? That you sit there and you can feel something and you know you can feel it, but forget trying to talk about it. You just can't get there. So this is what I had the seekers gathering last night, and this is what I gave them as an assignment. Go ahead and ask your closest friend, why are you my friend? And watch them squirm. I did this to someone yesterday. They looked at me point blank and just said, are you putting me on the spot? All the time, they're trying to figure out, how do you take this and express it? Those deep, impossibly difficult to express feelings that we have for another person, they're tough to share. We are not the only ones that struggle in sharing what love is and how to express it or trust. Sonnets have been written on the topic of love. I turn to Elizabeth Barrett Browning, who endeavored to share her thoughts on the matter. You know where I'm going with this one? How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach when feeling out of sight for the ends of being an ideal grace. I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need, my sun and candlelight. I love thee freely as men strive for right. I love thee purely as they turn from praise. I love thee with a passion put to use in my old griefs and with my childhood's faith. I love thee with a love I seem to lose with my lost saints. I love thee with the breath, smiles, tears of all my life. And if God choose, I shall but love thee better after death. Maybe in death we will have access to better language. Ms. Browning turned to the how. How do I love thee? In order to share the essence of love, her love. We do the same thing as Unitarian Universalists. We turn to our principles to share our passion for our faith, the inherent worth and dignity of all people, to share our work in the world. But maybe the limitations of the limbic part of our brain is the root of the challenge that we face in talking about Unitarian Universalism. We feel it. We feel the connection, we feel the passion, but how do we talk about it? Our call and commitment are really a set of feelings that we have about love, about acceptance, about equality and kindness that are sometimes hard to put into words. Maybe that's what is behind the compulsion to run out and do the what. We go out and do the social justice because we want to show people who we are, because it's hard to talk about. The world's religions provide volumes of stories and laws to define and show the way. As Unitarian Universalists, we borrow quite a few of those. There are creeds to recite and share, reminding people of the feeling of their faith. Unitarian Universalism, we don't do that. We are expected to do the work of uncovering and defining those stories for ourselves, create our own personal creeds of meaning, and be able to articulate the sentiments of our beliefs and our faith. We endeavor to exercise that limbic center of our brain, kind of like yoga for the mind. I think this could be the reason that so many people consider Unitarian Universalists to be intellectuals. Because we're compelled to think and required to translate what we are feeling in that limbic part of our brain. We do not just accept the feeling and stop there. We are called to personally convey the sentiment into the vernacular. How does one do this? The philosopher A.N. Whitehead once explained that symbols have the power to change history. Symbols are a way to convey, in shorthand, a concept or ideal that can be vast. The UU chalice is such a symbol. And the history of the UU chalice is actually significant. It began by representing the religious courage of a man by the name of Jan Hus, a 15th century Czech priest who was martyred for offering communion to his congregants in defiance of the Roman Church, which reserved the right of sharing wine to priests only. So building upon that story, during the Second World War, an American Unitarian, Reverend Charles Joy, was stationed in Lisbon to help refugees from Nazism escape to safe havens. As executive director of the Unitarian Service Committee, he felt that this new, unknown organization needed some visual image to represent Unitarianism to the world. He commissioned a Czech refugee and cartoonist, interesting person to choose, Hans Deutsch, to design such a symbol, and thus the chalice was born. The chalice is an elemental symbol of humankind. It is a cup. It represents the material aspect, the physical container of sorts, kind of like one's body. The spark, once kindled, bursts into flame, representing our literal life's energy. And without air, which both the Greeks and the Hebrews compared to spirit, the flame will not be able to persist and will go out. Air, for me, represents potentiality and inspiration, that universal energy that we all embody. So every Sunday, we come in, we get together, we light our chalice as a symbol of how. It holds our how, which is our commitment and connection to something larger than ourselves as an individual. It connects us to one another. Symbols and stories help that limbic part of our brain convey and make meaning. This is the work that we sign up for as Unitarian Universalists. We could just run towards the what we're going to do in life, but we will be missing something important, something inspirational. We need to embrace the why and the how before we can even contemplate the what. Now, if you're a goal-oriented person, this is not easy. You want to get right to the what. But if we skip them, why and how, and just go for the what, the experience that we will have will be less meaningful and may feel empty or random or may burn you out. Because it's the passion that is the fuel. It's feeling compelled by your life that is the fuel. And if you want to gain a deeper understanding about your life, and I think we all do, some wisdom, that aha moment, I love those aha moments. We need to be able to translate from what I call limbic ease, the language of our limbic brain. The golden circle. Why in the middle? How on the outside? What on the outside of that? We are willing to spend the time on why and what. But in earnest, the how is rarely given its due. And yet, it's really an important part of the equation. I think it is because the how cannot does not really stand on its own. If I say to you, how? You need the why. You need the what. And yet, the what and why, who's on first, who's on second, the what and the why need how. Translate it into the chalice. The chalice is the meaning. It is the conveyance of the symbol of our commitment to something larger than self. Without it, we have no why, we have no what. Let me expand on it, because I know this is like a reach. I'm taking a chance here. If we look at the chalice We take away the story of what the chalice means. We just take it away. What is the chalice now? It's empty. It's devoid of deeper meaning. And thus the fact that we light it every week is akin to walking into a dark room and flipping on a light switch. It's a mechanical action with no meaning. The story of the chalice itself gives the act of lighting it meaning. It touches us in a place. These same things happen in our lives in different ways. We struggle with why we do things or how we do something or what we're actually doing. It takes that understanding, that ability to take that feeling and convey it, that brings the story together and makes meaning in our lives. Same thing goes for our UU principles. Without them, we would be just a group of people getting together for a good show on a Sunday morning. Albeit, I can be fun to watch. Oh, and drink coffee. The story, the how, is critical to engaging our gut in this experience. Here's a takeaway for this morning. As seekers of truth, agents of change, imagineers, if you will, we are not compelled to just take anyone else's gospel as our own in blind faith. Would I be right about that? We're not going to take anybody's story and say it's our own without really feeling it. We may choose to be informed by one another's beliefs or stories. However, these experiences and stories have to pass our own litmus test to be assimilated into our understanding. If I say something to you that doesn't quite cut the mustard, you may think about it, roll it around in all the parts of your brain, feel what it feels like, and compare it to your own why and how, and then accept or reject. This is exactly why Unitarian Universalism is not a practice for the weak of mind or of heart. This is the exact reason that I found my own way to this community of hope and love. I was inspired. I felt safe because the expectation that I needed to think for myself and to develop my own living, evolving tradition was the center of my faith. Isn't that why we're all here? In writing this sermon, it was clear that I could not think about how I was going to live my life without why I wanted to. I cannot think about what I'm going to do with this one life without thinking about how I'm going to do it. These ideas are three legs of a tripod, and they can't stand without each other. My friends, how is an invitation to know yourself? Taking that time, if you think of how as stories and symbols that touch you deep within, you can even see it in commercials someday. I remember that old VW commercial with someone opens the door and the person smiles and then someone else picks up something that someone else has dropped, and all this interconnectivity is happening. And at the end of the commercial, it shows the VW. Or I think maybe it's at the beginning, one or the other. But what happens is that people have a moment, and then that moment connects to one another. And then they get to a place of deeper connection and understanding. That is what how is all about. It's our stories. It's our symbology that connects us deeply. So, I know this is not an easy concept to get. Because as much as I try to talk to your mind, it's really your gut that needs to connect with this. Do you get it? It's the gut that needs to connect with this. And that's where we find all of our meaning. So the one thing about Unitarian Universalism that I really want to convey is that this is a place where you bring that stuff, your stories, and you share them with each other, because that's why and how you really connect in community, is sharing your stories with each other. So I feel a sense of privilege to be here with you doing just that. And I thank the goddess every morning for it. thank you, and I know it's a stretch, but stick with me on this and be present with what we're endeavoring to do. To build the why, to understand our stories, and to share them with one another. Peace and love to you each and every day. Blessed be.